I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest on January 1st of a Clarinda man following a single vehicle injury accident that occurred in December of 2019. Dylan Taylor of Clarinda was charged with driving while barred, habitual offender, an aggravated misdemeanor. He was booked into the Montgomery County Jail on $2,000 bond. Iowa Department of Human Services officials say they are temporarily withholding nearly $44 million in payments for this month to one of the management companies overseeing the state's Medicaid program. Iowa DHS spokesman Matt Hyland says in a statement Friday that the agency has informed Iowa Total Care of the penalty for several compliance issues. They include unpaid claims, inaccurate claims payments, problems with pricing methods, and pharmacy dispensing fees. Hyland says the money will be released to the company once the problems are resolved. The withheld amount represents 26% of the nearly $170 million that would be due to the company. Cass County naturalist Laura Canning reports that the Soiree with the Swans event set to take place today has been moved from the Schaumburg Recreation Area to the backup location, the Atlantic American Legion Memorial Building at 2nd and Poplar Streets. Canning will be giving 10-minute presentations regarding the Trumpeter Swans at the building from 11:30 to 1 today, with a light lunch available for free, but a free will donation is encouraged. Donations are being accepted for swan care. And Atlantic is celebrating 20 winters of the Trumpeter Swans wintering here. The event is being sponsored by the Cass County Conservation Board, Atlantic Parks and Recreation, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, and ARISE. A change of a location originally due to the swans not overwintering or not overnighting on the Lake 4 location there at the Schaumburg Recreation Area like they normally do, so tougher to track down in one location. But recent counts have over 200 of the swans here in the area, so Laura will be telling you all about that today. They're now at the American Legion Memorial Building. Also in other news, the Creston Police Department reports two recent arrests. Late Thursday morning, 45-year-old Matthew Brummett of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for the charges of violation of protective order and probation violation. He was being held at Union County Jail awaiting a bond hearing. And around 1 a.m. on Friday, 44-year-old Brad William Reed of Creston was arrested for OWI first offense following a non-injury accident. Reed was driving a 2012 Chrysler Town & Country van northbound on Lincoln Street when the van collided with a legally parked 2017 Ford F-250 pickup registered to Serwa. Damage from the incident amounted to $7,000. Reed was taken to the Union County Jail and later released on $1,000 cash bond. A traffic stop at around 1:05 p.m. Wednesday in Council Bluffs resulted in the discovery of numerous boxes containing about 1,500 pounds of suspected marijuana worth an estimated $4.5 million. Council Bluffs police initiated the traffic stop on I-80 eastbound at the 7.5-mile marker. A 2016 Penske box truck was stopped for speeding. The driver, 35-year-old Dmitry Brisov of Los Angeles, California, was issued a citation. A Council Bluffs Police Service dog was deployed and alerted to the presence of narcotics in the vehicle. And a subsequent search of the vehicle discovered 61 cardboard boxes containing the suspected marijuana. And Brisoff was subsequently booked to the Pottawatomie County Jail on charges that include possession with intent to deliver marijuana over 100 kilograms and under 1,000 kilograms, prohibited acts, a drug tax stamp violation, and possession of drug paraphernalia. A group that insures local governments across Iowa is going to court to try to block the state auditor from reviewing its spending, including travel to out-of-state vacation destinations. The Iowa Communities Assurance Pool, which is owned by cities, counties, and other governments, argues in a legal petition that it is not a governmental subdivision and that State Auditor Rob Sand has no authority to examine its finances. Sand's office began reviewing the pool's spending in October after the AP reported that its directors have routinely held public meetings at vacation resorts in Florida every February and Michigan every August. The driver of a 2016 Chevy Malibu was cited after the vehicle was involved in a rear-end collision Thursday morning in Red Oak. Authorities say 24-year-old Dominique Yagier of Lenox was arrested for or was cited for driving while suspended and no insurance, accident related, after the vehicle registered to Reyes Castillo of Lenox struck the rear bumper of a 2006 Ford F-250 owned by 46-year-old John Davis of Villisca. The accident happened around 9:40 a.m. at the intersection of North Broadway and West Cherry Streets. Damages from the collision amounted to $5,700. Three flood-prone sections of I-29 in southwest Iowa were raised last year, and while they're still not flood-proof, the Iowa DOT says they are ready to weather future flooding. The DOT's Austin Yates says I-29 and nearby I-680 are typically impacted the same way during a flood.
Right now, with all this work done, I-29 and I-680 will be able to remain open together at the same time. We're not going to have to close one before the other.
The three sections were raised at different heights, ranging from 2 inches to 14 inches to more than 2 feet. Yates says the new asphalt is a big clue. Something has changed, but drivers may not notice the road is higher. He says it's kind of like a target practice.
If you're aiming at a target that's 50 feet away and then you raise that target up a foot, your eye isn't going to need to move to see that.
The three sections include northbound I-29 from Honey Creek to Loveland, a stretch of southbound I-29 north of Crescent, and a stretch near Blackbird Marsh. Yates said flooding would have still closed those parts of I-29 in March, but not in September or June if the changes had already been in place. A bipartisan group of lawmakers who represent Iowa and Nebraska are joining to sponsor legislation that would help communities like Hamburg that are fighting federal rules about making temporary levees permanent. Iowa Congresswoman Cindy Axney of West Des Moines, a Democrat, says additions to a levee that had saved Hamburg from 2011 flooding had to be removed because of current Army Corps of Engineer rules.
The bureaucratic piece of red tape didn't allow the residents in a community to keep a levee up that would have kept them out of harm's way, we believe, in this recent flooding incident.
Congressman Don Bacon of Omaha, a Republican, represents a district on the Nebraska side of the Missouri River, and he's co-sponsoring the bill in the U.S. House with Axney. The legislation sets up a new regulatory pathway for temporary flood control structures that can be made permanent.
It's with the idea in mind that if we already have a levee in place that was put in there temporarily that served a purpose, and that if we can, you know, are able to make some considerations to use that levee and not tear it down, then this bill will help us address that.
Iowa Republican Joni Ernst has filed a similar bill in the U.S. Senate.
There's a various coalition of those of us up and down the Missouri River that want to see things changed, and so we will keep pushing on those issues.
In 2011, the Army Corps raised the levee protecting Hamburg by 8 feet, but the Corps' current rules require that extra height to be removed because the community couldn't come up with the money to make the addition permanent. The legislation Ernst and Axney are sponsoring would direct the Corps to consider the economic impact of removing temporary flood control structures. It also calls for waiving rules that require local governments to come up with matching funds for levees if the community has fewer than 10,000 residents. Axney says the federal government has spent tax dollars responding to this past year's Missouri River flooding that might have been saved if the height of the Hamburg levee had been reduced. During a Senate hearing last spring, Ernst quizzed Army Corps officials about their management of flood control structures along the Missouri River corridor. And also in another note, after 5 decades on the air at 107.1, KDSN-FM in Denison is making an historic move on January 6th to a new home on the radio dial at 104.9. KDSN, a KJN sister station, reaches listeners in 8 western Iowa counties. Its family-friendly programming includes a popular blend of local news, sports, weather, farm, school info, community events, as well as great music hits from the late 60s to the present. KDSN is fully integrated into the area's sports, school, and agri communities. They have deep local roots and believe in giving back to the community. Station plans to shut down the FM signal on Sunday, January 5th, to complete the engineering and tower work required to move to the new 104.9 frequency. The transition is usually completed in 3 to 6 hours, barring weather or other technical issues. Should any delays occur, listeners can tune in to AM 1530 for live updates or check the Facebook page. The frequency change was negotiated when the station was sold last year with the goal of improved coverage after the move. KDSN-FM is a 6,000-watt station broadcasting 24 hours a day, is locally owned by Crawford County Broadcasting. That's a look at news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Nancy L. Eisminger, age 68, a native of Corning, died Monday at Mercy Hospice in Johnston. A memorial service for Nancy Eisminger will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Lutheran Church of Hope in West Des Moines. Charlie Sorensen, age 84, of Audubon, died December 19th at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Memorial services for Charlie Sorensen will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Exira Lutheran Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Darlene E. Hansen, age 88, of Audubon, died December 22nd at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. Celebration of life service for Darlene Hansen will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Harvest of Hope Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Rick Anderson, age 58, of Atlantic, died December 15th at Clarkson Tower in Omaha. A celebration of life with the family of Rick Anderson will be held on Saturday from here today from noon to 3 p.m. at 411 Walnut Street in Atlantic with lunch served. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic is assisting the family with arrangements. Dwayne E. Schmidt, age 86, of Audubon, died December 31st at Iowa Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for Dwayne Schmidt will be held today at 1 p.m. at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home Audubon has arrangements. Charles David Skase, age 96, of Indianola and formerly of Messina, died December 22nd at Taylor Hospice House in Des Moines. And memorial service for Charles Skase will be held Saturday at 2 p.m. here today at the Heritage Room at the Village in Indianola. Overton Funeral Home in Indianola has arrangements. Craig Lawrence McFarlane, age 60, of Stewart, died December 25th at home. A gathering of family and friends of Craig McFarlane will be held today from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Stewart American Legion Building. Johnson Family Funeral Home Stewart has arrangements. Ruth Richter, age 82, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. A massive Christian burial service for Ruth Richter will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. John Brewer, age 91, of Greenfield, died December 26th at the Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center in Greenfield. A celebration of life for John Brewer will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the Cornerstone Fellowship Church in Greenfield, with a luncheon to follow at the church. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. Julie Ann Christensen, age 53, of Urbandale, formerly of Audubon, died December 31st at her home in Urbandale. Funeral services for Julie Ann Christensen will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Nancy K. Klein, age 72, of Harlan, died Friday in Harlan. Funeral services for Nancy K. Klein will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. LaDonna Morgan, age 87, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at the Village in Indianola. A massive Christian burial for LaDonna Morgan will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. John Christensen, age 75, of Mesa, Arizona, and formerly of Harlan, died December 27th. Celebration of life service for John Christensen will be held on January 11th at 11 a.m. at Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. And Mary Hoig, age 93, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Services for Mary Hoig are pending at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.